We're really excited about our online giving thing. In fact, I was tickled the next morning after we got it up and running. I clicked on the deal, I got an email, and we got our first online gift. And I thought, yes, praise God. We're trying to stay up with technology a little bit, make it easier for you. I want to talk about Watoto just a minute. Most of you, how many of you were here last time we did Watoto? We did it on the Sunday night before Thanksgiving. And we had it here at the church. There was a conflicting event going on. The Batesville Area Ministers Fellowship was doing their annual Christmas service of all the churches. And I thought, oh my, what's going to happen? But we had 500 people in this place that night that showed up for the Watoto Children's Choir. Watoto is a church in Uganda, Africa, and they have a AIDS epidemic over there. And a lot of times the mother and father will both have AIDS, and they die, and the children are left on the street to fend for themselves. So what the Watoto Church has done over there is they go and they rescue those kids. And they build homes for those kids to live in. They have bedrooms, and they make it as much like a regular home as they can. There is a mother that they put in those homes, and I think she has 7 kids that live in that home. And the men of the church do the father's role in the lives of those kids. And not only do they provide them a place to live and to thrive and to grow, they educate them. They even send them to college. Those kids can tell you what they want to be when they grow up. And there's some of them that wants to be lawyers and some of them that wants to be doctors. And so Watoto is committed to changing their nation through changing the youth. And they're using those kids that have been just like throwaway kids to do it. And it's a wonderful ministry. So what Watoto does is they send choirs. I forget how many kids that they have in their groups. I'm talking about that live in the homes. A couple thousand, I think. Is that about right? A couple thousand? There's a bunch of them. But there's about 30-something that comes, and they travel in the choir. And they go from place to place, and they sing. They raise sponsorships, and they also raise offerings to help with all of this process of raising these kids. So they're going to be with us on March the 29th. That's coming up right on top of us. We're within a month of it. It will be at UACCB this year. We don't have enough room to do it here. And here's the challenge that I have for you. First of all, start inviting people. Tell them about what we're doing. Encourage them to come. We had people from all kinds of churches last time that we did this, and it was just a wonderful event. How many were you here for that? Okay, good. Well, how many of you were not here? Let's see. Well, that's even greater. So you are going to be blown away by these kids. They dress in their native dress. They sing. They dance. They tell their story, and it's just a wonderful time. And it's going to be a big event for our area. Now, let me tell you what we need you to do besides invite people, attend, and give. We need 9 host homes for these. Now, how many host homes did we have from last time? I know the Busbys and the Hubbards, and my mother-in-law. Every one of them will tell you that they were so blessed by having them in their homes. These kids and these aunties and uncles that come with them are such a blessing to every home that they stay in. These kids are so well behaved. You don't have to be afraid of anything. But we need 9 host homes. And here's what you have to be able to do, because we kind of have to follow their rules. You have to be able to host 1 adult and 2 to 3 kids. And that will be for that Thursday night after the concert. And you'll have to be able to bring them back to the church the next morning to catch their bus. So now here's how we want to do this. Do not tell me okay? Because you'll wind up getting mad at me because I'll forget. Call the church. Gail is here. She's here Monday through Thursday from about 7 in the morning till about 2 in the afternoon. Call and tell her. Now, she don't know that you're going to call yet because she laid out today. I don't know where she's at. She's traveling or doing something. But call her and say, now, Pastor said that if we want to be a host home, you need to call. So call and tell her that you would like to be a host home, and we'll choose from those, and we'll make those assignments. I've already got a list of the kids, their names, their ages, their aunt and uncle's names, and the ones that'll be staying with you. But you'll need to be able to have plenty of places for them to sleep. There are kind of restrictions on what they can eat, what they can watch, what they can do. So she has all that information, and we'll be glad to share that with you. Also, before the concert that night at UACCB, we'll be feeding them at 5 o'clock here at the church. We'll be providing a meal. We need some volunteers that can help with that, help with the providing of the cooking of the meals, the cleanup, and all of that. And then the next morning, they'll be coming back here, and we'll be serving breakfast and putting together sack lunches for them to take with them as they go on to their next place. So we need people that can help with the meals, the preparation, the cleanup. We may need some folks to bring some things, and we'll get all that together and share that with you in the future. So if you can help in any way, please let Gail know. Also, we need 3 to 5 volunteers to help with they have CDs. I think they have some native stuff that they bring. We call it their merchandise table. I don't know what all's on it. Also, there will be some sponsorship tables. And so they're going to need 3 to 5 people to help with that, to kind of set it up and tear it down and all of those kind of things. And besides that, we're going to need ushers to help us in collecting the offering and all of those kind of things. And then we're always going to need people that can be there greeting people as they come in, assisting people, showing them where restrooms are, and all of those kind of things. So it is going to be a wonderful opportunity for believers to minister to our city in a unique way. It will create a memory, I guarantee you. These kids will touch our hearts. And I know that people from all over, when they hear it, they're going to want to come. So you be inviting people. Make it a point to invite people. Tell them the story and invite them to come to hear the Watoto Children's Choir. And whatever, don't you miss it, because it's going to be a blessing. And everybody said, amen. All right. It was probably one of the most significant things that we've done in a while. I want to tell you right up front that my message, the first service, did not go in the direction that I planned it to go. And that tells me that the Holy Spirit was involved in that. So I don't know where this one's going. And that scares me a little bit, because I like order and my plan and all of that. But I thought this was going to be a one-shot deal today. And it looks like it's going to turn into at least a mini-series and maybe a full-blown series before it's over. I was in between series. But this kind of plays off of what we just got through doing called Not a Fan. And we're going to talk about fellowship today. Fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. We're going to be looking at the Greek word koinonia. Say that with me. Koinonia. That's the Greek word, koinonia, for fellowship. And we're going to look at that. And let me give you the point so that you don't have to wonder what this is about. I'm just going to give you the one sentence point that our fellowship with God, the level of our fellowship with God, determines the fellowship of all of our other relationships. Now, whether that be friendship, whether it be marriage, whether it be the way that you raise your children, the way that you treat your fellow man, your friends, the quality of your fellowship with God determines all of your other relationships. So we've named this series I didn't name this, the domino effect. Have you ever lined up dominoes and you know, in a row and you tip them over and they... Well, fellowship's that way too, because your fellowship with God determines so many other things in your life, whether you realize it or not. And this message is not for unbelievers. This is for believers. This is for believers. Because it's impossible to have fellowship with God if you do not have a relationship with God. And relationship with God starts with making Jesus Lord. In fact, there is a difference in a relationship and fellowship. Not everybody who has a relationship has fellowship. Now, that's in the natural, too. Do you know there are people who have a relationship with their spouse? They're married, but there's no quality of fellowship in their marriage. Do you reckon that affects the quality of that marriage? If husband and wife never talk, never communicate, never spend time together, are not real with each other, do you think that affects the quality of that marriage? Do you think that affects the heart of the children that are in that marriage when they see that their mother and father never talk, never interact, or that they see that the fellowship that they do have is negative, where they're nagging at each other and yelling at each other? Do you think that affects the children? See, it's the domino effect. It's the domino effect. And it's possible to have a relationship with God and have no fellowship. It's impossible to have fellowship with God without having a relationship with God. Now, I'm not the judge, okay? I did not sign up for that job. I did not apply with God the Father for that job. I don't want that job, because there's a spiritual principle that the way that we judge others is the way that we're going to be judged. I do not want that job. But it's very possible that there's going to be some people who make heaven that will have to be introduced to God, because they've never spent any time with quality fellowship with God. They confess Jesus as Lord, and maybe they'll make it to heaven. I don't know. I'm not the judge. That's not my deal. But I know that my works do not get me to heaven. I'm saved by grace through faith, okay? I understand that. And I don't understand that why people will receive the grace of God and never do anything with it. That's where I'm not the judge. But let's say that there are people who have a relationship with God, but they never have fellowship with God, and they make it to heaven, and they won't know God. I mean, they wouldn't know the Holy Spirit if he walked down Main Street with a red hat on his head. And they don't really know Jesus because they've not spent any time with him. See, I know that there's people who've been married before that really do not know their spouse. They know their name. They know what they look like. But you know what? They don't know what their favorite color is. They don't know what their love language is. They don't know what they like, what they dislike. They have never taken the time to spend quality time with their spouse. Now, does that affect the marriage? Does that affect the children? Absolutely. And let me tell you, honestly, it is a reflection back on our fellowship that we have with God. I am convinced that it's impossible to spend time with our Heavenly Father without it affecting who we are as people. You remember the story in the Old Testament that when God talked to Moses out of the burning bush, and he was up on that mountain, he was up there, what was it, 40 days and 40 nights, and God gave him the Ten Commandments, and he gave him the law, and he gave him the instructions about the tabernacle. And he was with God, speaking as much as he could face to face with God. God wouldn't look at him face to face. Moses asked him, he said, God, I want to look at your face. And God says, no man can look on my face and live. He says, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. And I'll hold my hand over your eye. And when I pass by, you can look at my hinder parts. You can look at the train. And he did that. And you know, when Moses came off of that mountain, his face shone so much that they had to put a veil over his face. And they knew that he had been with God. Now listen, if we spend time with God and we get to know God, not know about God, but know God, it should be evident in our lives. You know what? And I'm going to pick on Tony McGuffey. He's sitting on the third row. On the outside, in the suit. In case you want to know who I'm talking about. Yeah, raise your hand there. You sit close, you get picked on now, I'm telling you. But wouldn't it be a terrible thing that, you know, he works for the Batesville Guard and, he's writes a column and does photography and all other kinds of things. But wouldn't it be odd someday if somebody from work walked up to him and said, Tony, somebody told me you're a Christian. I didn't know you were a Christian. Praise God. I'm glad to hear that you're a Christian. I didn't know that you were a Christian. Now, wouldn't that be a horrible thing to happen in your life? You know what they're basically saying? You don't act any different than anybody else around here. But let me tell you the truth. If Tony spends time with the Lord, getting to know the Lord, and I'm not talking about just coming to church and doing the church thing and being religious and all that. I'm talking about spending time with God, getting to know His Heavenly Father, spending time with Him. It's impossible for that not to show. It's impossible for that not to affect the domino effect, that it affects everything else that you are and everything else that you do. Now, are we going to be perfect? No, because we're flawed human beings. But see, here's the whole thing. Here's the thing about our fellowship with God. He already knows, and this is what blows me away. You know, He already knows Tony. He knows everything about him. Tony's fixing to think a thought. And God already knew what that thought was. He knows him that well. He knows your thoughts before you ever think them. He knows the intent of your heart before you know the intent of your heart. And he still loves you. He knows everything about you. There's no way that God could know you any better than he already knows you. And I'm amazed sometimes at the games that we play with God. And we do one of these numbers. Well, I wouldn't want to pray that, because then God would know. I'm not going to say dummy. He already knows it. We're just playing games. He knows everything about you. And the most amazing thing about all that is, he could choose to hate us if he wanted to, but he chooses to love us no matter what. That blows me away. And he wants not only to have a relationship with me, he wants to have fellowship with me. Not so that he can know me better, because he already knows me as good as I can be known. It's so that I can know him better. Now, does he want me to know him better because there's something that he lacks in his life? No. He is not the beneficiary of my fellowship. I am the beneficiary. He wants me to know him better so that he can change my life. See, here's a sad thing among a lot of Christians. Maybe some here, I don't know. But we are too content to just have a relationship with God. And you can hear people talk. And even in some of this Not a Fan series, I mean, some of you may have even questioned your salvation. And you heard some things and think, oh my gosh, you know, I don't relate to that very well. I wonder if I'm a Christian. But we're just too content to know that we're not going to hell. Well, just as long as I go to heaven, that's all that matters. Did you know that's not all that matters with God? Now, let me tell you something about hell. In case you've been reading some of the books that are out there, there is a hell. It is literal. It's not a place you want to go. Once you go there, that's the end. There is no getting out of hell. It is eternal torment, and it was not designed for you, but if you don't accept Christ as Lord, that's where you'll go. Okay? Now, the good news is that Jesus came to provide a way that we don't have to go there. The bad news is that we're content to stop right there with just knowing that we're not going to hell. Well, as long as I'm not going, just as long as I make heaven, that's the only thing that I'm concerned about. You're falling far short of what God has designed for your life, because he wants to do so much more than take you to heaven. He wants to use you to reflect his love in this world. Because there are other people who he loves that do not know him. Now, on Tuesday nights, I teach a class for the kids. It's called Astronomy in the Bible. One of the things that we've been studying is the moon. And I bought a telescope a few weeks ago, and we get the telescope out, and you know, we're looking at different things. But one of the first things that we learned is about the moon. Now, here's a did you know? Now, most of you probably know this, but maybe there might be one on the front seat that might not know this. So I'm going to tell you. The moon does not have its own light. The moon reflects the light of the sun. It does not give off its own light. It reflects the sunlight. And what is interesting is the light that the moon reflects is directly proportionate to its relationship to the sun. Now, in Scripture, the sun is a type of God, and we are a type of the moon. Now, I always thought that the moon shined the brightest when it was closest to the sun. That's not true. When the moon is closest to the sun, the side of the sun that we see, or the side of the moon that we see, is away from the sun. So that's what the new moon. The sun is actually at its back. So we might say when the moon has its back to the sun is when it is the darkest. It's closest to the sun as it can get, but it's got its back to the sun. So it reflects no light. Now, the backside does, but the front side that we see is dark. Now, there are several phases of the moon, and it's called waxing and waning. Okay? When we see the full moon, the moon is further away from the sun. It's facing the earth and facing the sun. And that's when we see the full moon. So when the moon is in this phase right here with its back to the sun, it goes this way. Where my students are all in children's church. This is waxing crescent, waxing quarter, first quarter, waxing gibbous, full moon, waning. Now it's going away. It's turning away. It is the waning gibbous, third quarter, waning crescent, and back to the dark moon. So its relationship to the sun determines its light. And that's just like us. When we spend time with God, when we get to know Him, and we are facing Him, and we're facing the world, I'm not talking about being a part of the world, I'm talking about facing Him and facing the world, that is when we can shine the brightest for Him. And that's what He wants us to be, full moon. You know, and there are times in our lives that we are waxing. Then there's times in our lives that we are waning. We're getting brighter. We get dimmer. It's all in our position to the sun. I'm not talking about being saved and lost. I'm talking about Christians now. Non-believers do not reflect the glory of God. They cannot. Only believers. You know, a lot of times we do not represent Christ well because we are not in proper position to reflect His light. We got our eyes on the world and our back towards God. And the world looks at us and they do not see light, they see darkness. And there's nothing about that they want. When we have our eyes on God and our mission, which is the world, and we are in proper fellowship with God, then guess what we begin to do? We begin to reflect His glory the greatest. Now I want to share with you the things that we're going to look at in the next week or so. And I think that these are progressive. And this has to do with our fellowship with God. And not only our fellowship with God, the way that we have fellowship in our marriages, in our family, in our friendships. I think that there is a progression, because this word koinonia means several different things. Number one, it means friendship. Number two, it means community. Number three, it means joint participation. Together, participating together. Number four, it means intercourse. Did you know it didn't start with intercourse? Just a thought. You know, sometimes we get relationships out of order, especially with men and women. We want to start with intercourse and work towards friendship. I don't believe that's the way that it's designed to be. Just a thought. Then the last one is communion, and then we'll talk about that. And you don't start with intercourse with God. See, we think of intercourse as a dirty word. It's not a dirty word. We've made it a dirty word. But the ultimate of our thing with God is the intercourse that produces offspring. See, He told Adam and Eve, and this was a natural thing, but it was more than just a natural thing, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The ideal was that they were to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth with those who would be light bearers. And it didn't happen that way. And if we do this right, if we do this God's way, and we grow in this area of our fellowship with God, then we are going to be most productive where the kingdom is concerned. We are called to be light bearers. We are called to reflect the glory of God. As Moses' faith shone, we're supposed to shine in a dark world. That's the only hope that the world has. The hope of the world is not in charitable organizations. The hope of the world is not in government programs. The hope of the world is in the body of Christ, the church of Jesus, reflecting His glory. We need to get that. Well, I don't have time. What's the commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, strength. Well, if I got time, that's not fellowship. God made you a priority. We make Him a convenience. He needs to become our priority in these other things, conveniences. I overslept just a little bit this morning. And I started doing my daily Bible readings. I'm doing and this is a good one. If you have iPhones, or Droids, you can get YouVersion. And they have through the Bible in a year. And I've made a commitment to read the Bible through in a year. And I'm using the chronological Bible. Now, I'm a pretty disciplined person. But if all you're doing is a discipline, that's not fellowship. Discipline is important and discipline is necessary. But if it's all it is a discipline, it becomes a legalistic thing. See, it's got to be a heart thing. So I was running a little bit late this morning, and I thought, well, you know what? I may just skip my Bible reading this morning. And I thought, no. That's part of my priority. That's more important than going to MacD's and getting that sausage McMuffin. See, sometimes we get so routine driven that, you know, okay, and what's the first thing that we put off? The thing that's supposed to be the most important for us. What is the first thing we neglect? It's usually the things that we love the most. God and family. How many times have we allowed business or making a living or this or that or somebody calling and asking us to do something, and we have a commitment to God or to our family, to spend time with our family, and we put our family off, and then we call them our priorities. Just a thought. See, I think we have to have some priorities in our lives. But it's not just for the sake of being disciplined. It's the sake of getting to know something, to make a difference in somebody's life. You know, when I think about events, immediately when Kathy and I think about doing things, we think about, okay, how can we include our family in this? Took my grandkids on vacation. That was interesting. Took two of them. I don't know what I'm going to do when I take five. I didn't relax as much. I didn't come back home as refreshed. But I got to spend time with my family. And that's a greater importance to me than coming back refreshed. I can take a day off and do that. See, you do things out of love, not out of discipline. And it's very easy to allow I'm talking to somebody because I didn't say this in the first service. So listen. It's very easy to allow thieves to steal the precious things from you. And listen, you can even do things in the name of the Lord and let your priorities be stolen from you. I only have one chance to be a father. Only have one chance to be a husband. Only have one chance to make an impression on my grandchildren. You, as a member of this congregation, are a priority in my life. Now, and there's a bunch of you, and it's not like I know you personally, but I have a... When I get up here, I need to be prepared to say what the Holy Spirit says to me, because I only get one opportunity to make that impact in your life and say the things that you might need this week that'll be a key in your life to keep you from being robbed, that you might know Christ better. You may know God better. These things are important. See, this is part of fellowship. And I want to end with this. Man, this didn't go anything like the first service. But the first aspect of fellowship is friendship. Now, there's a scripture found in James 2:23. Let me get my glasses on so I can see. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. How was he declared righteous? By faith. He was even called the friend of God. You know what? When we start with God, we said this a while ago. What is the first declaration of the church? Jesus is... Oh, that was weak. Jesus is Lord. Now, what's a Lord? Does a Lord sound like a friend? It sounds like a boss. See, when I come to Christ, I'm saying, I'm taking the controls off of my life. I'm putting me off of the throne. And I'm asking you to be Lord. I want you to take over. I want you to direct my affairs. I want you to choose the things for me. Now, he does this by guiding you. Understand that. I'm making you Lord. I'm not going to make decisions independent of you. You are Lord. But you know, there came a time in Jesus' disciples. They followed him for 3.5 years. And one day he turns to them. See, he was their rabbi. He was their mentor. He was their teacher. He modeled God to them. He was their Lord. But he turned to them one day. And he says, I no longer call you servants. I call you friend. And this is where God wants to get in our lives. Where we can be friends of God. I don't think we start there. Even though that door is open. See, a person of the world cannot be a friend of God. Because our hearts are estranged from God. We by nature are enemies of God. But when Jesus comes into our heart and he changes our heart, he becomes Lord and he becomes our rabbi. He becomes our teacher. He becomes our mentor. We make ourselves servants so that he can make us friend. God wants to be your friend. And that's the way it should be in our relationships. You know, husbands and wives should be friends. Huh? Imagine that. Your spouse should be your best friend. In fact, now I have a lot of females who I consider to be friends. Okay? But that only goes so far. There is only one female in my life that I will allow to be a close friend. The rest of them have boundaries. She has none. Okay? And if somebody intrudes within that boundary, that's not a friend. Because that's reserved for her. And that's kind of the way we should be with God. We shouldn't allow anybody in that circle of that friendship that we have with God. Just allow, so you wouldn't allow anybody else in that same circle that you have a friend with your spouse. You say, well, me and my spouse are not that close. Maybe it's a reflection on our fellowship with God. Could be one side or both sides. But those are some things that we need to get right. And I think that when we get things right with God, when we get in this relationship and growing relationship with God, right now you may be a waxing crescent. But you've got some light in you. You may not be a full moon yet. You may be a waxing crescent. Don't be a waning crescent. Be a waxing crescent. And the way that you do that is you look into the mirror of the Word of God, which is the only thing that I know that can tell us who God is. And as we behold ourselves in the mirror, the Bible says that we are changed from glory to glory. And we become more light and light and light. See, when Jesus said, when he was in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. And then he turns to his disciples and he says, you are the light of the world. You know why? Because he was going to go to heaven. He's going to shine the light, and they're going to reflect the light. Do you think that he could have built the church with 12 fans? We did fan and follower. Remember Peter at the crucifixion? Before the crucifixion, Jesus was arrested and he was kind of hanging around on the edges there. And somebody said, hey, Peter, he's a follower of Christ. He said, I don't know him. No. The second time it happened, the third time that it happened, he cursed Christ. He denied him because he was a fan. He hadn't not yet discovered what it meant for this follower thing. And Jesus dealt with that in his life. Jesus didn't give up on him. But did you know that Jesus became the rock? I mean, remember when Jesus said to Peter, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, on this rock, Peter, you're right. On this rock, I'll build my church. Well, he didn't build it on Peter, but he built it on the revelation that Peter had. But Peter became one of the most influential men in that early church. He went from fan to follower. He went from servant to friend. He had a relationship with God. And Peter reflected the glory of God. Even though he didn't get started good, he finished strong. And Peter regretted denying Christ so much that when they crucified him, he requested to be crucified upside down. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as my Lord. And they crucified him upside down. Now, could Jesus have taken 12 fans and had the impact in the earth? There's no way. They had to be followers. They had to be in relationship with him, and they had to be in fellowship with him. And it had to be a growing thing, just like we saw in Peter. He became a reflector of God's glory. See, and that's what we're called to be, light bearers. Light bearers. And it is, guys, it's not easy. There's too many distractions in life. But we have to decide what the priorities in life are. Are we really, Are we really come to the point that say, okay, God, I'm going to love you with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength? And we're not talking about being saved. We're talking about being in fellowship with Him. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. We'll pick this up. We're talking about how our fellowship with God reflects the quality of every other fellowship that we have in relationship. I'm not really giving an invitation today for anything with this message. We always open this up for people who need to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you need to do that, these people can pray with you. I want you to listen to this series with an open heart and let God do something in you. If you have any other kind of need that you need prayer about today, we're going to open this up and let you come for prayer. But I want the word spoken today to penetrate your heart. I want you to allow the light of the word of God to go deep in you. Don't sit there and think, boy, my wife surely needed to hear that. Or old so-and-so back in the corner, they needed that. No, I need it. And I spoke it, and I need it. Because I'm not perfect, and neither are you. But I want to be a full moon before this is over. I want to fully reflect the light of God as He has called me to do in this world. Father, thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that speaks it to our hearts in so many different ways. Lord, the amazing thing about your word is that you can speak to people on any level of their life through the same scripture, through the same thought. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your marvelous work. I can do nothing without you, Holy Spirit, to inspire me and to take the words that are spoken and minister it to hearts. I'm just the vessel. Lord God, thank you for touching people's lives here today. Minister your love and your grace to them, I pray in Jesus' name. Would you come? Whatever you need from the Lord today.